The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food.
Hey everyone, this is Ellen Wells with the Just Veggies podcast. I am also author of the Just Veggies blog here at plantersplace.com. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we will be talking about how to read the results of your soil test. A few weeks ago I had posted about and podcasted about reasons why you should send your soil samples out to a laboratory for testing so you can find out what is in your soil before the season gets going in full force. So sending out the soil test or soil to be tested for nutrients, it's just the first step in figuring out what your soil holds for your vegetable garden. Interpreting those results is the next step, and that's what we'll be talking about today. Your soil tests come back usually with a whole bunch of numbers and percentages and parts per million and some indication of whether your garden's levels are within an acceptable range. And I have to say that to the uninitiated, the numbers and information provided really could set your head spinning. A few weeks ago, I sent my soil samples from my garden in Westport, Massachusetts, to the Soil and Plant Nutrient Testing Lab at the University of Massachusetts, and that's located in Amherst, Mass. So it's a completely new gardening space for me. I have no idea what's been going on there previously. The last time it was gardened for vegetables was about 2 years ago. I have just received the soil tests via email, which is very convenient, and I am curious about what all these numbers mean, because frankly, I don't know about all of it. Luckily, the results were accompanied by a list of comments and recommendations, as well as links to some relevant UMass gardening and agricultural resources. And one of them is actually called Interpreting Your Soil Test Results. From reading the recommendations and the information from that link, this is what I am working with this season. So a test of the soil's acidity came back at a 6.2. And a soil pH of 7 is considered neutral. Anything below that, so 0 to 7 or 6.9, would be acid, and anything above that would be alkaline. So I am slightly acidic in my soil. It's not as acidic as the average New England soil, though, and that tends to fall usually in the range of 4.5 to 5.5, so I'm pretty good. So when soils are acidic, this cuts down the availability of certain nutrients in the soil, particularly nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, like the big three. And it limits the amount of those nutrients that are available for the plant to use. Usually, limestone is something that you can add to the soil to raise the pH. In my case, the pH is within the acceptable range for a vegetable garden of 6.0 to 7.0. And even though it was acceptable in the acceptable range, the soil testers suggested I add some lime to raise the soil pH up to a level of 6.5. So that's something that we can do in early spring and also in fall. The test results also came back saying that I have excessive phosphorus. And at a reading of 41 parts per million, it is way above the optimum range of 4 to 14 parts per million. In fact, it's so excessive, the results came back with phosphorus is excessive! ! Three exclamation points. Wow. Both those comments and both the comments and the online resources say to not add any additional phosphorus at this time, so I'm good. But this means that I will need to carefully choose any soil amendments or fertilizers that I choose to add to the garden, particularly those that have no added phosphorus. So I have to look at my NPK ratio on the back of the bag to make sure that I have 0 P, which means phosphorus. They're also recommending that I take measures to limit the water runoff for my plot because it has excessive phosphorus. If phosphorus runs out and into the street and then into a gutter and then into a river, New England has a pretty big problem with phosphorus in its waterways. Another result of the test was that high calcium levels are in my garden. Calcium is essential for properly working cell walls and cell membranes, and it is especially important in actively growing parts of the plant. At a reading of 2,266 parts per million of calcium, the levels are way beyond the optimum levels of 1,000 to 1,500. However, the results I got back didn't suggest that I take any action. So I think I'm okay. I just won't add any additional calcium. But my tomatoes should be fine. Tomatoes love calcium. My garden is also high in magnesium. And like calcium, my soil's magnesium levels were at 234, which were above the optimal range of 50 to 120 parts per million. But they suggested no corrective measures, so I feel okay. They also tested for two metals. One is a light metal, and that's aluminum, and one is a heavy metal, which is lead. And soil samples or soil tests routinely test for those metals in particular. Because high levels of aluminum are toxic to plants and high levels of lead are toxic to humans. My sample had rates of 18 parts per million for aluminum and 10 for lead. And those are well below the optimum range of 75 parts per million for aluminum and 22 for lead. So that's great news. I was most concerned about the presence of lead in particular. Who knows? I could have had an old car buried underneath that garden plot. I have no idea what has happened in that plot prior to my purchasing the land. You'll notice that there are no results for the amount of nitrogen I have in my soil. That test was an additional fee. I just did not choose to have that done. As you know, or can surmise, nitrogen is constantly leaving the soil through biomass removal, also known as harvesting and weeding and cleaning up any sort of plants that are growing. Nitrogen addition is always a good idea, and their recommended way of adding it to the soil is with dried blood, which I've never used before. I'm going to see how my dog reacts to the odor, because it does have some sort of odor to it. I do know that. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, I've got a whole bunch of blog posts for 10 years worth of blog posts at plantersplace.com under Just Veggies. And check out my previous podcasts. And until next week, see you soon.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planters Place podcast.